So we are back here, centering, grounding, anchoring ourselves on earth, in serious as well, bigger picture and that reality on earth. And if we want reality on earth to really take a shift, I mean the global reality on earth, I think it's a moment of truth. It's a moment of us taking responsibility for our own light. My own light is already within. It's in me. It's in all of us. No one on earth is deprived of it. Nothing on earth is deprived of it. It's in all beings, whether we call them sentient or not. So light is there. It is available. It's a limitless resource. No scarcity. No risk of scarcity. It's totally super abundant. So let's start with that light in me. That little golden dot in the middle of my navel. When I breathe in, I bring more energy to it. It's like I absorb prana, life force, from anywhere else, and I bring it into my dot, into my navel. When I breathe out, I keep it there, so it accumulates there and it concentrates there. Let's do that for a little longer. I breathe in all the prana available all around. It's nothing to do with the air. The air is the carrier for life force. The air is just a vehicle. So it doesn't matter if the air is not that clean and if it's polluted and we are in a city. Prana, more prana into me, straight down to that dot in the middle of my belly. And when I breathe out, I keep it here preciously. I stock it in my stuff, in myself, in my belly. And I want more of it because I want more density of light. Density of light is like more intensity. It won't become heavy. More light. I want to saturate my belly button with light. Call it prana, call it light. You can give it other names. More of it into me. Until I'm fully saturated, which is I can't take more. It's only because I can't hold more, because there would be plenty more. So when I reach that stage of being saturated with light, I will recharge. It's like I plug into this light in my belly button. I plug in, so really charging myself like my devices. Until I feel my vehicle, my human being, made of physical, emotional, mental, spiritual bodies, until that me, living on earth, is ready to go. Then we will activate it by breathing, using directional breathing, like in-breath going down from chest into the abdomen, out-breath moving up from abdomen towards the chest. So we activate, we intensify. We are already spreading the light, but it's within the chest and abdomen. It's already cruising along and crossing the barrier of the diaphragm each time. So it's already practicing breaking through, because this will be the topic. Light needs to break through to become visible. And here we have a gentle practice where the in-breath breaks through into the abdomen and the out-breath breaks through into the chest. But it's very private, it's very subtle. It's like gaining confidence that I can do it. When you feel confident enough, you'll go back to the breathing technique we had before, where from navel outwards you send out your breath and therefore your light in all directions, to the limits of your skin to start with, like you become a shiny being, and then beyond the limits of your skin to the limits of your aura or energy field. So we've got this extremely radiant presence, and this you maintain for a little while. And this we do together, so each one of us is doing the same, and it creates a circle of light. In which each in-breath expands the light and sends it outwards in all directions. And each out-breath stabilizes that light by coming back to center. And this is crucial. Many light workers nowadays feel such a strong urge to take action that they go out, but they lose the center. Have to always come back to center, restabilize. Every single step goes from center. Outwards, certainly, into the world, in your own field of action, but you always come back. We fail to do that, the end result is more chaos, more confusion. It's not what we want. We want a world where light dots are connecting with each other in a network. And for this, like the stars in the sky, they need to shine. And like stars in the sky, they shine in the dark. So now the world is rather dark. It's time to shine. Well, stars shine at daytime as well. They do. Just that we don't see them. So you're shining your light whether you're being seen or not, privately and also openly. And what you do is you always do it from your core. Back to your core. In doing so, you create not only a momentum, a beautiful pattern of harmony, like a mandala, of which you are the center, a multi-layered but also multi-dimensional mandala. It's not just a 2D, it's like 3D and more dimensions. And what is most precious here is that by creating that momentum from your core outwards and always back to it, you stabilize the global grid. You contribute to stabilizing the grid of light. Not the grid that is keeping us entrapped in boxes, programming, etc. No, the grid of light, the network of movement that creates support and enhance light. And moreover, you are also contributing to reuniting the parts of you that aren't one yet, all the little and big wounds. We all have and hold a core wound, which is our unique way of being separate from Source, God, One. It's a game we've been playing a million times in all incarnations we've been through. We have explored all variation on the theme, and we kept stuck and attached to that wound because despite the pain it causes and the suffering, the endless suffering, it's so well known that if we let go of it, we'd be at risk of having to change radically. Like, for instance, become more happy, more content, having a fulfilling life, fulfilling relationships and the rest of it. So sometimes it's too much. It's like you would prefer to stay with what we have, which is not satisfying, not fulfilling, etc., because this at least is well known. And this perpetuates the wound. So we have this unique wound, unique version of it, and each time something vaguely resembling it triggers it, off we go in another loop, another repetition of what we know we do and we see us doing and we can't stop doing. And this is the point. We are not going to work on healing the wound. We are going to work from a place where there is no wound because there is no division and no separation. So once again, I'll invite you to breathe from the top of your chest in two steps, two krama. Each in-breath, two krama, two steps, little pause in between, and a long out-breath with a sigh. And each and every single one of those breaths lifts you a little higher above the mud. Above the attachment and the stuckness in the wound. Healing the wound is not a process, it's a decision. Like a physical wound will take some time to heal, there will be a process in the physical bodies. But healing happens on the level of consciousness. Otherwise, there will be no change. And this is instantaneous. And I think we have reached the point where we can make that decision if we were ready. So we keep lifting ourselves to the highest frequency we can hold, which is the top range of our consciousness, where we are closest to one and self and God and the divine and unity and whatever you want to call that. And the closer we come to that, the more obvious it becomes that there has never been separation. There has never been a split or a division, even in the toughest of our trials and painful experiences and drama and trauma. If we move higher in frequency, it doesn't deny the reality of our human experience. It just puts it in perspective and shows us that this apparent division is just one aspect of the whole. It's like a phase in a growth process. So from that perspective, division, separation, splits, wounds are a moment of crisis. All of us had or having moments of crisis. From our human perspective, this is part of life. At the same time, from this greater perspective, this is not an illusion. It's just one part of the truth, one part of reality. So take that on board. It's just one part of reality, and you stay perched in the highest of what you can perceive, understand, appreciate, comprehend. In the moments of greatest insights, we know that. We know that all is well. We know that all happens for a purpose, and the purpose is not a divinely devised set of difficulties and obstacles. It's the result of our free will and the use we make of it. So we are not puppets manipulated by a big bearded God on his cloud, sitting on his cloud. We are the divine itself playing, experimenting, exploring possibilities with matter. So we take risks, so we sometimes get lost. We get things wrong and correct or not. So this is the game, this is the nature of the game. It's not divinely planned, because there's no plan. But there are laws. And the laws are simple. Like, you can move as far away from source as you want, but at some point there's a kind of an urge to come back. So that's the limit of expansion, and this explains the law of expansion retraction. So you're free to explore the world and all dimensions of it and all that you want beyond anything known, beyond your comfort zone, but there's a limit, which is when you would really lose yourself badly. And then you have to come back home because you're like magnetically attracted. Now, how you come back home might be that you have to die. But maybe not. And there's another one, which is no matter what you do, when you embrace reality and follow the thread of your real pleasure, which is not just desire, I want this, I want that. When you follow the thread of pleasure, which is what makes you happy, I mean deeply happy, joyful, content, nothing can go wrong. I'm not saying follow your addictions, I'm saying follow the path of your real pleasure that makes you happy, because then you will have unpredictable journeys and you will have all sorts of synchronicities and you will discover worlds you didn't know existed. And all resources needed will always be provided. This is a very simple way of living. No planning, no targets. Abundance and multiple possibilities opening as we unfold, as we evolve. So as part of this big game, there has been for us the possibility of splitting up, which is of dissociating us from one and playing the game of two called duality. And now we got a bit stuck in it, of course. And now we have got so stuck that we don't know how to come back. It seems. But it's not true, because we've got this light within. So that's why I suggest that you come back to it. Navel. And again, from the navel outwards, let your light shine throughout your body to the limit of your skin. And just reconnect with that reality of yours, which is myself as a human being. Reconnect, acknowledge, and honor that being, because it's an amazing thing to be alive as a human being on Earth. Privileged to have that kind of equipment, which is highly sophisticated and designed for fast evolution. It's a privilege to have that kind of equipment. So honor that, appreciate. Shine your light on it. And then let your light shine beyond. Beyond the limits of your skin and shine through as far as you can reach. And there's nowhere you need to reach. It's not that you're targeting anything. You're just shining like the sun shines on everybody and everything. We are a subproduct of the sun, symbolically and physiologically. So let the sun shine from your core outwards and shed light on the world around you. That is, in your little, maybe not little, in your real environment, in your field of expertise, with all your talents, among all the people you are in touch with, you collaborate with. And feel that in the interaction, feel that in the interaction with others, people, things, events, situations, there is this connecting field in which all experiences of unity, every single moment you feel one and shining, are being shared instantly with all others, whether it's a stone, a tree, or anything else. For a moment, stay with that. I'm here trying to be so one that I feel my light shining naturally all around. And as I'm being in touch with the wind, as I hear the car pass by, the neighbor speaking, the aircrafts passing over our head, any one of those things, in the interconnection I have with, is sharing and spreading the news of that unity I'm holding within. So although it's easier to do that work in a little group like now, because we're supported by each other, it actually happens even if we are connecting with an aircraft passing above our head. So two elements. One is I lift myself to the highest of my consciousness, and from there I shine my reality, which is my exact self, nothing more or less, who I am. I am in constant evolution, so I'm not perfecting, but I'm evolving and unfolding ever new possibilities as I progress, as I step forward, as I encounter other things and beings. At the same time, in the interaction with life, I focus on the connection, the place where we meet, the touch. So what in me is touching reality? Everything. And every single part of me touching every single part of reality creates that unity, manifests it. I'd like you to feel it now. Focus on the contact points, on the surfaces that are in touch. It's very simple sensory. It's got no intention, no emotional color, no spiritual agenda. It is just sensory. I am or I'm not in touch. So I need to be one, I need to be shiny, but I also need to be connected. And then gradually come back to the seat, the chair or the block you're sitting on, the night. Take a deep breath. And when you're ready, open your eyes.